Okay, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, ladies, for that great number. What a blessing it is, isn't it, to have good music in our church and have these folks who God has given a great ability to worship Him in song and do it the right way. What a blessing. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse number 17, it tells us that the Christian life is a life of faith from the beginning and throughout its time, a life of faith. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Even as is written, the just shall live by faith. Revealed from faith, the source of our Christian life, faith, and to a continuing path of faith in our Christian life. You know, it is a big step in a person's life to come to Jesus Christ as Savior. That is a big step of faith. But you know, that is only the beginning. The Bible tells us that we are saved by faith, but our Christian life is a continual life of faith. It's a life of going forward by faith. You know, we would like to start with faith, and then we'd like to coast the rest of our life. But the Bible tells us that the Christian life is not only one that starts by faith, but it is a upward, forward, progressive life of continued steps of faith. Those steps aren't easy. We would like to think that we make a big decision in our life to get saved, and then that's it. After that, we just kind of coast. But that's not the description of the Bible. The description of the Bible is that in the Christian life, there is a continual need of steps of faith in our life that we must make, whether we are 5 years old in the Lord or 1 year old in the Lord or 10 years old in the Lord or 40 years old in the Lord. I think that's one of the great problems today in Christianity is that that we're all a little bit lazy. We're all a little bit lazy. We don't want that life of faith. You know, we would like to have great faith and, you know, and have it easy. But we're going to look at a little bit of the ingredients of faith, and we're going to see that, you know, faith isn't easy. Faith isn't easy. On the other hand, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith, our life will not please God. We might be comfortable. You know, the people in Israel for 38 years didn't have to exercise any faith. Did you know that? For 38 years, they wandered in the wilderness. They didn't have to exercise any faith other than go out every morning and pick up the manna and watch the Lord take care of them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't, their sandals didn't wear out. And God provided them manna every day and provided them water. But they didn't go anywhere for 38 years. They didn't have to go into the promised land. They didn't have to do anything great. They didn't want to live a life of faith, and so God just let them wander around. And certainly that's a picture of a lot of Christianity today, not going anywhere. In fact, I think most Christianity today is going backwards because of this whole... In fact, there's a sense of false faith. You know what that false faith is? That's false faith is this attitude of some young preacher or some old preacher that says, you know what, we're going to leave the status quo and we're going to get some good, lively rock music in here. And we're going to get rid of the pews and we're going to put them nice chairs out there. And we're going to get rid of the organ, and we're going to have a nice band, you know, and holy smoke and all that stuff with it. And, you know, to them, that's faith. To me, that's unfaith. That's trusting in human methods and appealing to the flesh of men. That there's a lot of false faith today that is making things go backwards. So... the necessity of faith. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a few things about faith. Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Faith isn't by sight. Faith isn't... by sight. It isn't what you can see. It isn't, in many cases, it's not something that you can figure out how it's going to work. Yeah, the Bible says it's the evidence of things not seen. It's not by sight. It's not necessarily by reason. The Bible says, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are were not made of things which do appear. You know, our whole space program, there's a lot of benefits that come from it, a lot of it in the computer world and benefit in our advancement of our society. But they aren't going to go to Mars and figure out how the world was created. The Bible says so right here. It says that the worlds which are seen were not made of the things that do appear. They aren't going to find out how the world was created by looking at creation. That's just the result. The Bible says that God created the world out of nothing. And so you aren't going to find the elements that God created the world out of. In fact, I read a book... it was too technical for me to figure out, but here was this scientist taking these theories of evolution saying, you know, it's not possible. And talking about different rock formations and rocks and how, you know, we have igneous rocks and we have sedimentary rocks. And so he took certain igneous rocks and he melted them down and or he put them in fire. And it didn't work out. Didn't work out. Well, if they were igneous rocks, then it would all work out because they were made out of a fire situation. And of course, he proved that they weren't made that way. And so he lost his grant from the government and from universities to do any more research because. If you believe in evolution, don't believe in evolution, you can't do any research in all the research facilities in the United States. I just realized that recently the creationists started their first lab ever in recent years that they could use. But You're not going to find out how the worlds were created by looking into the earth and looking into the stars, because the Bible says they were created out of nothing by God. And the Bible says that we know these things by faith. Faith in what God has said. We find, of course, that's another very important part of faith. Faith is based on the truth of God's Word. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Where do you get faith? You get faith, the Bible says faith, Romans 10:17, you know the verse, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, let's think of that in two different ways. First of all, let's think about that as a part of the definition of faith. Now, faith isn't based on foolishness. Faith isn't based on feeling. It has nothing to do with feeling. You know, the charismatic crowd, the rock music crowd, the CCM crowd, for them, faith is a feeling. That's why they have that music. And that's how they feel God. That's not faith. That's feeling. But where does faith come from? Faith comes by the Word of God. And the Word of God, that is true facts. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Now, so a couple principles here. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, what does that mean? Well, that means if we don't study our Bibles very much, we shouldn't have much faith. And we won't have much faith. If we don't study our Bibles much, we won't have much faith. On the other hand, if people have studied the Bible for 20 years, how much faith do you think they should have? On the other hand, what do you think should be happening in our Christian institutions today, where we have professors who are teaching the Bible, and we have students who are under those professors? Should those students become people of faith? Or is something wrong that in many cases where people are preaching and teaching the Bible, there's a product of unfaith? Lack of faith, a lack of holding to the old-fashioned truths of the Bible and old-fashioned Christianity. You see, we have a problem today, don't we? We have a problem. We have a problem of a lack of faith, and we have a new definition of faith. And I know some of these preachers, and their definition of faith, that boy, it takes a lot of faith, you know, to launch out and put rock music on the stage because you're going to alienate God's people. Well, that's not faith. That's foolishness. And that's not Bible faith. That's satanic faith. And it didn't come from the Bible. You know, humanism is not faith. That's not faith. The Bible says, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And as Christianity has developed, we have, thank the Lord, we have a lot of people who are very accomplished, and they have a great way, you know, with words. They have a great way with people. They have a great, approach to people. I look at myself and I said, oh boy. But you know, the fact is, the ministry isn't about all these humanistic things. Those are good. But the ministry is about the work of God. It's in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's a ministry of faith. God takes the worst, takes the least a bit, talented most of the time, and takes them. He chooses them to bring glory to Himself. So we are emphasizing here the definition of faith. Now let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Of course, the Bible uses, gives us the great experience at Kadesh Barnea as the great illustration of the will of God in the life of a believer, and that the people of Israel were brought out of Egypt. They were brought to Sinai. They were given the law. They went through the wilderness. They were taught the great lessons of faith by God. And they saw what He did in Egypt. They saw the Passover. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the provision of water. They saw the provision of the manna. They saw Him giving the law. They saw Him revealing Himself in His greatness on Mount Sinai. And He is doing all of that to lead them to Kadesh Barnea to go into the land. Now, of course, there's a picture here of the Christian life. It's a picture of the will of God. And it tells us that of the importance of faith. And so here's the crisis of faith in Numbers chapter 13. The spies have been in the land for 40 days. And those 40 days were 40 days of opportunity. Now, there were 40 days of opportunity. There are 40 days for them to be convinced of God, by God, that this was a land flowing with milk and honey. And, of course, it was. I mean, can you imagine bringing a cluster of grapes strung on a pole between two men? I mean, 40 days they got to see that this was exactly the land that God told them. They got to see two things. They got to see that what God says, the iniquity of the Amorites was full. They must have been disgusted. If they had any sense of the holiness of God, they had to be disgusted by all the wickedness that they saw. They had to say, you know what, this is true. The iniquity of the Amorites is full. The land is ready to vomit out the inhabitants. On the other hand, they saw the fruit of the land, this good land. It was 40 days in which their faith should have been increased as they saw the evidence that this was the land that God gave them. Of course, two people can see the same thing, and one person can say, oh no, and the other person can say, oh yes. And so they go to the land, the spies come back. It says, verse 26 of 13, Numbers 13, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land where they searched. And they said, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And the people we saw in are men of great stature. And they saw the giants. And notice in verse 3 of chapter 14, it says, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Now, notice the thing that was lacking in their life. We know it was faith. But what was the ingredient of faith that was missing? What was the ingredient of faith that was missing? They said, has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Notice that two things. You know, faith costs something. Faith costs something. Faith isn't easy. We'd like to think that faith is, you know, okay, I got this great faith. Okay, I'm going to work this up now. You know, I'm going to work this faith up, you know, and okay, boom! That mountain just left. Oh, boy, isn't that great? Let's try it again. Boom! Okay, man, the tree's gone too. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the charismatic definition of faith. But what's the Bible definition of faith? The Bible definition of faith is that faith costs you something. Costs you something. A faith always involves some sort of cost. Personal cost. It involves, always involves the risk. You know, in your taxes, if you ever fill out a self-employment Schedule C, you know, the government is always trying to go against fraud. You know what I mean? They're really concerned about that, except on election day. But, you know, they're always concerned about fraud. And at the bottom of the that page there in Schedule C, it always asks, is any of your investment at risk? Yes or no? Well, what does that mean? They want to know if this is a genuine business. You know, they want to know if you have something invested in it and if you could lose something by having this business. If you wouldn't lose anything, well, why should you be able to get some kind of deduction on your income? You don't have any risk, you know? And so the whole basis of business expenses is risk. Now, that's the same principle of faith. You know, faith is all about the ability to trust God for the unknown that's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Now, you know, the people of Israel, oh, they would have been glad to go into the land. Oh, that's great. We're going to go in the land. No. They knew that it was going to cost them something. They're going to have to go in a battle against these giants. They're going to have to go against some walled cities. And some of those walled cities, and you know, it's not really easy to go against a walled city, especially if you don't have catapults and all this sophisticated equipment, right? Well, it's pretty tough to go against walled cities. And there's a mountainous terrain. You know, if you're fighting an enemy in a mountainous terrain, guess who has the advantage? The guy up on above can throw a rock on you, and you're done. You got to go uphill. And so they're thinking, oh, boy, man, we're going to have to put ourselves at risk here. Boy, this might cost us something to go into this land. Man, I'm not really sure that I want to pay the price. I'm not really sure that I want to pay the price of going into this land. Now, and we think of Hebrews chapter 11. Well, the Bible says, by faith Noah built an ark. Well, it had never rained before. God says there's going to be a flood. And Noah either was an awful good engineer or he had to hire some pretty good engineers to build that ark, even though God gave him the dimensions. And it was building in 120 years. I wonder how much his bank account he used up. Now we're getting into American thinking, aren't we? Boy, it cost him his pride because everybody thought he was a fool. That's normally enough to keep people from trusting God in the first place. Just public opinion. You know, it costs something to be a fool. Then it cost him his pocketbook. He had invested literally millions and millions of dollars to build that ark. I wouldn't be surprised if when he finished the ark that every piece of gold or money that he had was spent. I wouldn't be surprised if he had nothing left. I think that would be pretty typical of God. That he had to invest everything he had in that ark. He had to throw away his whole life, so to speak, to believe what God said. You see, faith costs something. There's a risk involved. You know, you can put it in a lot of different ways. But I notice that in a general sense, there's a principle here. You know, in churches, there's a lot of opportunities to help people grow. From what I've heard over the years and experienced, if you go anywhere in a typical church, they say that if you want to have problems in your church, have a building program. Churches will say, boy, building program, that's one of the toughest things a church can ever go through. And, you know, why is that? Well, I'm sure that God knows the answers, but I think, a building program usually starts off with a test. And you know what the test is? It's called personal risk. Personal risk. That's right. Personal risk. You know, who is the one when, for instance, a church is going to go forward, who generally are the people who are the most enthusiastic? Now, this isn't totally true, but it is basically true. Who are the ones who are in a true church, who are the ones who are most in favor of it? The people who are going to pay for it. The people who decided that I'm in favor of this, and I am going to pay for it. No matter what it costs, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to take my money, my time, my future, and I'm going to invest it in this work of God. Those are the people who are in favor of it. Because they have real faith. Because they're willing, when they say yes, to them it means it's going to cost me my skin. That's faith. Faith is a person who trusts the Lord in reality. They're willing to risk their time. They're willing to risk their money. They're willing to risk their retirement. You know, they're going to risk their future pleasures. And they're going to give it to God. You know, that's kind of stupid, isn't it? Give your money to God? Give your time to God? Take what you have and throw it away for something foolish like a building program? Well, you know, some people will say, well, you know what? I went through one building program, and that's okay. But you know, around Maquonago Baptist Church, they always got a building program. You know, that's okay. Two, well, I'll put up with two. But three, I'm out of here. I'm out. I don't want to go through. Why should I keep risking my money and my future and my retirement and my time for something as foolish as a church? Now, this is just a very simple thing. And we like to make faith something a little bit more spiritual than that. You know what I mean? We'd like it to be, you know, real pious. Whatever. I don't know. But it's not that way. It's all about risk. It's all about risk. And you know, if you really go down to it, you know, some young person, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you know, why? Why should I give my future? Why should I give my future up to serve God? Why should I take my future, my fun, my pleasure, my comfort, my plans, why should I give those up and say, I'm going to be a preacher, or I'm going to be a missionary, or I'm going to serve God? And that means that I have to put myself in an uncomfortable position the rest of my life. Because I'm going to be constantly called to put my life at risk. You know, that's called discomfort. That's called discomfort. Now, we like secure things, don't we? We like our security. We don't like to get out of our comfort zone. But this whole thing about faith, it really has a very real part to it. And that is what Jesus said. If any man is going to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come and follow me. Whether it's the cost of a young lady, and the world says, "Oh, how come you dress like a granny?" You know what? There's a cost to that, isn't there? And there's some people that, no way, they're not going to They're not going to pay that price to follow God. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. You can show them the Bible a million times. It doesn't matter, because you know what? They're not willing. They don't have faith. They don't have the ability to risk public opinion about who they are to follow God. That's what faith is all about. The ability to risk something. You know, that's what life is really all about. You know, when you think about the Christian life and going forward always has these steps really cost you something. They cost you something. And if you don't want to give anything, if you don't want to put anything at risk, not really. Let's think about how many people did the people of Israel lose in the battles going into the promised land? How many did they lose when they went against King Sihon? How about zero? How many did they lose when they... who is the next king? Og? How many did they lose when they fought him? How many did they lose when they defeated Jericho? How many did they lose when they had the battle against Ai? After Achan was dealt with, they lost 36 with Achan. But how many did they lose in the battle of Ai? Zero. How many did they lose against the battle at Gibeon, when all the kings got together and said, "Hey, these Gibeonites, they betrayed us." How many did they lose that battle? Zero. Now, the fact is this. Here's the facts. Faith causes a person to be willing and put their life at risk. But in reality, it's far different than that. In reality, it's far different than that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Verse 29. 28, Peter began to say unto him, "Lord, we have left all and followed thee." And that's a true statement. "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Yes, there was a perceived loss of houses and lands. But the Bible says that that they had received 100-fold. There was a perceived loss of certain temporal things that were just temporal. But they didn't lose the eternal. They gained. And although there's this perceived principle of loss, there never really is a loss when a person follows God by faith. There is a perceived loss that could be money, that could be time, that could be whatever. It could even be physical life, persecution. But you know, to lose something that is temporal is really not a loss, because it's just temporal. And then he says, but the real reality is just like the people of Israel. They were so afraid of putting themselves, their children at risk. They were so afraid of putting their wives at risk. They were so afraid of putting themselves at risk in this battle that they weren't willing to trust God. And who lost? They lost, didn't they? They lost everything. They lost everything. Those fathers didn't get to see their children go into the land, did they? Those children did get to go into the land. But the fathers never got to go into the land. They lost by not having faith. They lost by not being willing to go forward by faith. They were unwilling to risk something to do the will of God, and they lost. And so when we think about the fact is, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, the real issue of life is it isn't that we should be afraid to do the will of God and what it will cost us to do the will of God. It's going to cost you something. And you have to be willing to pay something to do the will of God. You know, usually it's a perceived cost. It's only a perception. It's really not real. I remember when we voted to buy this piece of property. And that was a long time ago, Joe. And I remember that the deal was 15 acres and the house for $75,000. It's going to be a 10-year land contract at, I don't know what it was, 6% interest, 7% interest, something like that. And, you know, when Mr. Schultz... he gave the proposal. The first time he proposed 10 acres at $50,000. And I said, we'll do it. After that, he had cold feet. And, and we kept going back to him. He wouldn't say anything, you know. And I says, oh, Mr. Schultz, you know, if you need more money, you know, fine. Just tell us what you want, you know. And so he did want more money. He wanted to sell 15 acres for $75,000. We had two kinds of people in our church. We had some people who weren't really committed. They want a new church, but they really didn't want a new church. They didn't want to pay the price for a new church. They want to pay the price of living for God. They didn't want to pay the price. And then we had some who had just gotten saved, and they didn't care. They doing God's will is the most important thing. And so we figured it out. The payment would be, I don't know what it was going to be, $887. I think it ended up to be $915 a month. Well, our offerings at that time were $820 a month. So you buy this property and your payments are going to be more than your offerings totaled. Well, as things were working out that we were going to get chartered, The vast majority of the people who weren't committed said that we were too strict. We had a lady who thought Elvis Presley was pretty wonderful, and she knew I didn't like Elvis Presley. I preached against him, and so we went from running from about the 55, 60 people, we went down to 29 people. And part of it was, you know, we're thinking about buying this piece of property, and, you know, that's not going to happen. So I remember when we voted. Remember when we voted? It was unanimous. But I remember when I voted. I don't know what other people thought. I never asked them. But I was working full time as a carpenter, and I was the pastor. And I thought, well, you know, if that's what it takes, I'll get a second job. Well, actually, it would have been a third job. If that's what it takes, that's what my vote represents. I'll get a third job if we can't make the payment. Well, you see, that's what real faith is. Faith is really the willingness to give yourself to God no matter what it costs. And, you know, a lot of people can know all about the Bible, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have faith. Now, they should have faith. They should know God, and they should know His ways, and they should know how His will works. But the reality is there's a human element to faith that many times escapes people's mind. And that is the willingness to put yourself at risk. Now, you know, when you got saved, that's really what you did. There was a Bible that said that Jesus Christ paid for all your sin. You never saw Jesus, and you haven't been on the other side, right? And yet, you had to come to that place where you so saw yourself as lost and hopeless and helpless, that you were willing, very foolishly, to call upon Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, that's a big step, isn't it? It's a step of faith to put yourself completely at the disposal of someone you've never seen. And a message that is almost out of this world, and it is. And act on that message. And turn yourself over to Jesus. Now, you know, praise the Lord, if you're raised in a Christian home, it's just as much faith as anybody else. But you know, when you're maybe an adult and you get saved, boy, I tell you what, there's a big step there. There's a big step. And you know, it doesn't really seem like much. But when you get saved, it's almost kind of natural. Because if you know you're a sinner, and you know you're lost, and you know that you're wicked, and you know, and you're sick of yourself, and you know you need Jesus Christ, well, what else is there to do? Amen? But the same principle, if you're committed to Jesus Christ, what else is there to do but to trust Him with your life? If you're committed to doing God's will, it's almost natural just to have faith. Because there's nothing else you can do. What are you supposed to do? Go backwards? Right? Should you go backwards? What else are you supposed to do? Oh, I'm going to run. Run from God's will? Well, that's foolish. Well, I'm going to quit. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, faith, there's a great risk there, but it's just normal. You know, when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, it's just like the people of Israel. God put them to a place. He took them out of Egypt, and he gets them along the red side of the Red Sea. And you know, down to the Red Sea, there's a passageway. And you know, that passageway leads you down to the Red Sea. And there's mountains on the north and there's mountains on the south. And in front is the Red Sea. And then behind them was the armies of Pharaoh. Right? And they said to Moses, what are we going to do? You know what? There's the most expert and the best army in the world is there to destroy you. There's no place to run. You know, you have two choices. Run into the sea and get drowned, or run into the Egyptians and let them take you back to slavery. And so would the Lord say, stand still and see the salvation of God. And he says, you know, there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is trust God. And by the grace of God, they trusted God. And guess what happened? God parted the Red Sea. And the Egyptians thought that they could go through the Red Sea too. And the waters fell in on them. And the people of Israel went out to scot-free. But you know, they had to risk their life to trust God. But they didn't really have a choice but to trust God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, the decision of faith is just the normal step of a person who's committed to God. That's just the normal step. And I guarantee you that God will always be challenging you in life to make you uncomfortable. He will always put you in new ground that you are going to have to trust God a little bit more. You're going to have to deny yourself a little bit more. You're going to have to make a little bit more commitment. You're going to have a little bit more that you're willing to get on, a nervous ground. You're going to put you in a place where he's going to make you a little bit insecure. God is always in that business. And the answer will be faith. Faith. And that is how we go forward in the Christian life. By faith. The will of God is revealed in the Bible. But to do the will of God, it takes faith. And in this day, I think it's going to take increasing faith. And it's going to take increasing faith in two areas. One, it's going to take increasing faith to be faithful to the old paths, to the way of a holy God, because there's going to be fewer and fewer people walking in it. And secondly, it will take faith. It will always take faith to go forward. It will take faith to go forward. It will take faith to in spite of the difficulties of the day, to go forward by faith to reach people with the genuine gospel and see genuine conversions and see genuine change and genuine lives that are miracles of God. Because God's still on the throne. but takes faith. Now, I don't know of any big step of faith that we are approaching at this moment in our church. But there will always be moments of faith. I would suppose that starting a bus ministry that we did recently, you know, in one sense of the word, I suppose in reality it was a step of faith. And yes, we bought new vehicles. But you know, the reality of it was there was people out there soul winning. And God put across their path an open door. And that open door was how God works. And those people in that pathway, when they said, let's have a bus ministry, you know what they said? They were saying, I want to go visiting every Saturday. I want to spend hours every week trying to reach these people. I want to love these people for Christ. I want to pray about this. I want to give myself to God for souls. You see? That's faith. Real faith always has an inward risk, an inward investment. That's what faith is. And any ministry is just like that. It always has somebody who is saying, I'm willing to trust God, for I don't know how it could ever work out, but I'm willing to trust God. I'm willing to put my skin in there. I'm willing to put my time in there. I'm willing to put my life in there. I'm willing to put my prayers in there. I'm willing to put my money in there. That's faith. It costs something. Now, it really doesn't cost anything, in one sense of the word, because, you know, when you do the will of God, you always get more out of it than you ever put into it. You know, the person that is a real desirous to win souls to Christ. Now, there's a lot of cost to that. You know, there's a cost to that. You know, part of the cost is you have to stay right with God. Does that cost something? Is that easy? No, it's not easy. You have to stay right with God. You have to stay right with God. You got to put time in it. You have to put prayer in it. You have to be always looking to see the opportunity. You know, on and on and on. But let me ask a question. Who's spiritually better off? Well, I think you'll find in general that person is doing spiritually far, 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 far better than the person who isn't much of a witness for Christ. Now, who gained the most? The person who's willing to put the most at risk. Isn't that what the Lord said? He that will save his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. You know, isn't that the Christian life? We have a Savior who died on the cross. So to speak, he gave his all. He risked everything for us. And the Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To throw away your life for God, to serve God, oh, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. But you know, the Christian life isn't what it appears to the outside. That's the step of faith. On the other side is what? All the blessing. All the gain. All that comes with being in the will of God. The thing that we ought to fear in life is not the fear of what we have to risk to serve God. God help us. What we need to fear is not having the faith to follow God and lose God's will for our life. That's what we need to fear. Faith costs something. And the flesh doesn't want to pay the price. And the world laughs at paying the price. Oh, man, the world laughs at people coming to a church like this. Man, do they laugh at that? They don't know what they're missing, do they? They don't know what they're missing. Because, you see, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Faith has to do with the invisible. It has to do with believing what God has said and acting upon it. Now, maybe in your life tonight, there is a big step of faith. I don't know what it is. But, you know, faith always costs you something. It always costs something. Perhaps it's just a battle of faith in your life with the devil. And the devil says, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. And the Word of God says, and we know that God works all things together for good that love Him. God says it will work out. Trust me. It's hard to trust God sometimes. Sometimes it's real hard to trust God. It's hard to obey God. It's hard to obey. Because it's going to cost us something to obey God. We have to obey by faith. Not by feeling, not by convenience. And I guarantee that as we follow the Lord, that by God's grace, this ministry will always be a ministry that we are deciding to go forward. Whether that's in obedience to God in some area of holiness, or whether that's obedience to God trusting God to win souls the right way. Whatever it is, by God's grace, this church will go forward. But it will always be a test of faith in God. Faith. And it will always cost something. But it's always going to be a perceived cost. But there will be a cost. It will put us at risk. It will be uncomfortable. It will make us go on ground that we've never been on before. It will always lead us to a place of higher commitment, higher self-denial, or greater self-denial, a greater risk of what we have. That's God's will. Always is. You go backwards on that, you're getting out of God's will. God's will always cost us something, whether you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 40 years. It will cost you something. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these great principles. And Lord, we live in a day of comfort. And we're thankful, Lord, for it. We like our comfortable houses. We like our comfortable beds. We like our comfortable cars. We like comfort, Lord. But sometimes we want to stay comfortable spiritually, too. And we just want to coast with the crowd and just so-called enjoy the blessings and not pay anything. And Lord, we know that it's not how it works. There's a price to be willing to pay to follow you. That's what faith is. The willingness to trust a good God for the unknown, for new ground, for holy ground, for the will of God. And I pray that even that person today that has grown lazy or comfortable and have become set in their ways, not willing to let you change them or to go to a place of greater commitment. I pray that they'd be encouraged tonight to realize the just shall live by faith. And so, Lord, whatever it is, maybe it's a very basic decision. Maybe it's a decision of overcoming pride. That costs something. Lord, help us to be people of faith, to obey your word, to trust you with our lives, to go forward in our Christian life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is perhaps dealing with your life. Maybe you're here tonight as a young person. And you know, when you really come down to it, whether you how you face your future is a decision of faith. And the Lord is calling you to throw away your life, so to speak. And that makes you nervous. You don't know what it holds. But it's the will of God. Hudson Taylor said, come to China. Come to die in China. Throw away your life. And the Lord is speaking to your life today, maybe as a young person, about this whole perspective of the will of God. And He's calling you to trust Him with your life, with your talents, with your future, and do the will of God. That's a big step of faith. But it really isn't that big a step, because if you don't, the reality is you're going to lose everything. But God's calling you to make that step of faith tonight with your life and say, you know what? I will throw away my life to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to throw away my future. I'm going to do the will of God no matter what it costs. I realize that that's what God wants me to do. I need to, by faith, come to the place I'm willing to trust the Lord with my life and my future and say, here, Lord, here am I, send me. And the Lord is speaking to you tonight, specifically, young person, about your future, about your life, about obeying God. It's a step of faith. Tonight, you say, Pastor, you know, God's speaking my heart. That's exactly right. I haven't been willing to risk my life. I haven't been willing to risk my future. I haven't been willing to risk my talents. It's really a matter of faith. And God is speaking to me tonight about that. That's the only real choice I have, to trust God, believe God, to give Him my life, to respond to Him the right way. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I believe that God is speaking to me on my heart tonight about surrendering my life to obey the Lord and to serve Him. And that's what I've been unwilling to do, is to trust Him by faith. And God is speaking to my heart tonight about the exact opposite, about deciding that I'm going to follow Him by faith and give my life to Him. Anyone here tonight? That's you. Okay? Praise God. All right? Anyone else? All right? All right? I see that hand. Another one. Praise the Lord. God's speaking to you. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right? I have been willing to put my life at risk, but I realize that's what faith is. Risking my life, putting it in the hands of a good God who I can trust. Anyone else? God has speak to your heart about that. About my life. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? I see another hand as well. I'm willing to trust God with my future. I'm willing to trust God with my life. I can trust Him. Okay? Amen. I see a couple more hands. God is working in hearts. This is a real issue. This is real. Amen. Anyone else? Perhaps tonight, God is speaking to you about higher ground in your Christian life. You need to go forward. You need to go forward. And it's the whole issue of faith that's been keeping you from going forward. You haven't been willing, maybe, to risk the TV. Maybe you haven't been willing to trust God with that area of your life that you need to throw away, so to speak, that area of the world that you really need to just get out of your life so you can get to higher ground. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith over the world. Even your Christian friends probably laugh at you. Oh. But the Lord is speaking to you as a Christian about going to higher ground. And maybe it's an area of you've been just so set in your ways, and God's been trying to change your life and make you trust Him in new ways in your life. And it's been really uncomfortable for you to do that. But God's speaking to your heart about going forward by faith, whatever area that is of your life. And you say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart about being willing to trust Him anew and afresh in my spiritual life. Anyone here, God has spoken to your heart about that. Okay. Amen. Number of different hands. Okay. Praise the Lord. Others. Okay. God has spoken to me about trusting Him anew and afresh. Oh, boy. We don't like that. But that's where we need to go. All right. Number of other hands. Others. God's speaking to your heart about that. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart about that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Lord, now thank you that we can trust you. Your word is eternally true. Your character is eternally good. And Lord, your will is perfect and good and acceptable. And now, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would give grace to your people, young people, to give themselves to you, to be willing to follow you, to invest their life in the invisible, the things of God. And Lord, I pray that you bless your people. Number, Lord, many who recognize that by faith they just need to trust you. Whether that is whatever it might be. And perhaps there are still others, Lord, who just need to get out of their comfort zone and start doing the will of God, even though it would make them feel all uncomfortable. And so, Lord, might you be honored in an invitation and how you would want to work in our lives and to help your people even right now do business with you. I pray in Jesus' name.